Last week, when we started this new arrangement, we said that this particular time of our morning is devoted to a theme for zealous for good works. We defined zeal as a great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. And within our study last week, we included five characters or characteristics or qualities that would emphasize this definition. We said that courage was necessary, wisdom was necessary, energy and diligence and a loving service to God, to the saving of lost souls. All that together defines our zeal. Today we want to consider a New Testament character that exemplified this zealous life. In our study this morning, we'll see a passionate man who went to great lengths to accomplish a goal in which he truly believed was according to God's will. He was a man who went to great lengths to achieve his goals. He expected, he was respected by the Jewish faith and their traditions, and he was well known by Christians throughout all the land. He even stated in Galatians, the first chapter in verse 14, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of the fathers." Who was this zealous and dedicated man? In Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 1 and 2, "Then Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from them to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." This zealous man was Saul. He showed it in his efforts here to destroy the way. Later in this chapter, we find that Saul's life drastically changed, though. But we'll get to that shortly. Yes, this zealous man is Saul. His belief led him to persecute Christians, even when his conviction was unknowingly wrong. This zeal of Saul was present before he knew the truth. Now I want to turn to the 22nd chapter of Acts. Here in Acts 22, Saul, now called Paul, explains his passionate work. And he explains his lifelong zeal. He also tells how his entire life changed direction on the road to Damascus. In the previous chapter, chapter 21, we find that Paul was teaching in the temple, which caused an uproar among the people. And they began to beat him. The soldiers came to arrest him and proceeded to take him to the barracks in chains. But Paul, with his enduring determination to spread the gospel, asked to speak to the crowd. And this is what he says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." Paul wanted to have this opportunity to tell the people there why he was there and what was happening to him. He goes on to say, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished." We read about that in the 9th chapter. That's what his zealous drove him to do. And in verse 6, now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men and what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was killing him. Was standing by consent to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here. It was at this time that Paul turned to serving God as his conviction had now changed. He said in Galatians, the second chapter, verses 19 through 20, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's zeal was not sufficient until it was aligned to Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins. His desire now and goal is that which is spoken of in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So Paul spent his days teaching the Gentiles of Christ and reaching the lost souls. And during his travels, Paul spoke to many, but he also spoke to the Roman brethren, and he spoke about his experiences and knowing that what he went through, he had concern for the Roman brethren because he said to them in the 10th chapter, verse 2 and 3, he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, they were like him. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Yes, zeal is praiseworthy. Zeal is important. In fact, it's required of all of us, of all Christians. But it must be driven by the knowledge of the Word of God, which Paul referred to. This zeal, coupled with God's word, makes for a strong Christian that is active and loving and striving to spread the gospel and saving lost souls. Before Paul was found on the road to Damascus, he had a zeal, but it was for the wrong cause. He soon found out and was redirected in a better zeal. And he spent the rest of his lives toiling and striving to do that which was given to him. Paul reminded the Philippian brethren in Philippians the third chapter, verses 12 through 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Paul had a past, and he knew he had to leave it behind. He knew that he needed to press forward. He needed to press on to the new goal that was given to him. Paul tells the brethren that there was a time in his life that he didn't know all the truth. Have we been there? He did things in error. Have we been there? But given time, he learned the truth that led him to salvation. So Paul's change of life led him to go to all the Gentiles to spread not his word, but the word that was given to him by God. In Galatians, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, he says, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Later in that chapter, in verse 24, they praised God because of me. Paul wasn't given the praise for this, but they praised God, and that was important. Paul believed the Christian life was like running a race, not always easy. He told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 26, he says, do not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. It was very obvious that Paul was a highly energetic and motivated godly man. But there's one more important thing that we need to note here. Paul's motivation is not unique just to him. He's not the only one for whom Christ died. His response should be mirrored by every Christian. Every one of us should have that same zeal and determination. What a wonderful lesson from Paul's example of zeal and determination that we need to imitate. When we find ourselves working against God, we must change. When we see opportunities to teach the lost, we must use it. We have the responsibility to defend the truth. And when times get tough, we need to press on to the high calling of Christ. Let us continue to be truly zealous for the Lord. Thank you.